from WBEZ Chicago and your sense of survival, this is Pleasure Town. In the late 1800s, two visionaries claimed a parcel of Oklahoma land. They had a dream to build a community for pleasure seekers. Before long, the settlement grew into a sanctuary for outlaws and artists. But after flourishing, it fell. Now, decades later, the town lies buried in the red dirt. But not even death can silence the residents' stories. So put on your headphones and hear their tales as we ride out the woes of Pleasure Town.
Knowing there'd be a significant cost, would you make a deal so that you could live again?
I think living bears enough of a cost itself, Si.
Yeah, doom and gloom is my territory there, Claude.
Yeah, but dying has been such a relief. There's no more winning or losing. You just are.
Well, I'd fear I'd give up almost anything to feel a breeze again. To soak in the sun, to laugh or drift off to sleep. Just too many things about life that don't follow over.
Eventually, the wind stops blowing, the sun sets, the laughter ends, and you'll wake up. There's always a loss. Never like that part of living.
Yeah, everything has its time. Even Pleasure Town.
And that time would have been cut short for up to Enid.
She saw the beauty of our town, but not the value.
To her, there was a job to be done. And we were a necessary expense.
Now, Miss Wallace, if you're just going to keep on standing there, I've got another broom you can use.
Apologies. May I have a word, Amelia?
Yes, of course. Come in from the cold. I've managed to completely patch the inn up since the fire. It's certainly an improvement since you were a guest. I have to keep tidying up the inn, but please, what is it that you want to discuss?
I've received a telegram.
Certainly you didn't come here to just tell me about your correspondences.
Please, Amelia.
Oh, this must be serious. Oh, it is serious. Well then, out with it.
I've received a telegram which contained a message of the utmost importance from the Oklahoma Department of Land. It seems the government has forced a change in direction of my plans, quite literally.
I don't understand.
I barely do as well, but the gentlemen from the department do not think it wise to build through a community such as Pleasure Town. I quote directly, "A disgusting bed of sin not fit to hold the fine passengers of our railways."
Let me tell you, Pleasure Town has heard far worse. Besides, who cares what they think? This is your railway. You can do with it as you wish.
Oh, if it were all so simple. All railroad construction must seek governmental approval. It's an inner and intrastate affair. Why, if you had to jump through all the hoops I've encountered, you'd have calves the size of grapefruits.
What are they gonna do? Abolish the railroad entirely? Don't they realize the economic benefits to the state?
I'm afraid you're mistaken. The government does not wish for me to cease operations. Nor do they want me to redirect the railroad around Pleasure Town. They mean for me to build on it. Raise the place to the ground and make room for the largest depot in Oklahoma. Where are you going?
To the town clerk.
Now, Amelia, let me...
Enid, please. We must keep our voices down. So as not to provoke the guests.
Yes, excuse the outburst. It is unlike me to lose my head, but this is a matter of grave importance, one that comes just as much of a shock to me as it does to you.
A shock? This is no mere shock. It is a bolt of lightning. You've promised this town progress. Now you're telling me you'll kill it?
Amelia, I am who I've always said I was. A businesswoman. I complete transactions. I strike deals. I turn visions into realities. This particular vision was the construction of the largest railway system the West has ever seen, and I will not allow an obstacle to become a barrier.
Surely there's another way. You're a wealthy woman. Can't you write a check? Grease a palm?
I'm afraid there is no amount of lobbying to be done. We are governed by men. And let me tell you, the value men place on their pride is beyond even my bank account.
Do you feel no guilt? No remorse?
Guilt is for the guilty. I have committed no crime.
So what? You've chosen to share this terrible news with me? To place the burden of truth on my head? I must find the clerk.
Please, hear me out, Amelia. Despite the unfortunate turn, there is a silver lining, one that directly affects you and your livelihood.
All right, then.
Come, put your coat back on. Let's let the cacophony of the town drown us out. What I have to discuss with you is a business proposal, plain and simple.
A business proposal? Isn't that how we got into this mess in the first place? You waltzing into my inn, appealing to my interests, convincing me that my support for the railroad was crucial to not just your success, but the success of Pleasure Town?
And all that was conducted with the utmost sincerity. But changes have occurred, and sometimes in business you have to pivot. Hard. It is the agile who survive, and you, Amelia, are one of the most resourceful women I have ever met.
So, is that why you have chosen to proposition me? Or are you feeding these sweet nothings into all of the residents' ears?
I assure you, this is exclusively for you, Amelia. I see something of myself in you. You are the quintessential self-made woman.
I deal in comfort and care. You barter people's lives on iron and wood.
I deal in progress and profit.
And yet, you failed us.
Let's be honest, Amelia. This town is underfunded, its founders are absent, and the whole damn mess is being run by a hapless clerk and a barber.
You may have decided to sell us out, but trust me when I say I will stay loyal to my community, even if it means seeing it through its ugly end.
If that is your thinking, then prepare for hardship, for I will be acquiring this land. The government has assured me that if the town resists, I will receive the land by the power of eminent domain. By that point, most landowners will be willing to sell their property for pennies on the dollar. Those who remain will be removed by force. It will be swift, much swifter than if we let the town die the slow death that will ultimately befall it otherwise. But rest assured, Pleasure Town's destruction does not have to spell yours. Not if you have someone like me in your corner. Is something funny?
Nothing, just something a friend said to me. So what exactly would it mean to have you in my corner?
My railroad will bring thousands of travelers to destinations across the West. These travelers will need places to stay. I would like to start a chain of inns to accommodate them, and I would like you to manage them.
That's quite the proposition.
It is, which is why I don't make it lightly.
But what about everyone else? These people will be destitute. They'll have nothing.
I take no joy in the town's destruction, but I cannot save every man, woman, and child. Those who know what it takes to survive will find a way, especially those shrewd enough to know a good offer when it is laid before them.
This town and its people offered me more than any other when I first came to it so many years ago. Not just opportunity, but acceptance, openness. But I suppose if I accept your offer, I could be in a better position to help. It has been a while since I've had to start over, but I'm no stranger to it. Staying here, I'd be in the same boat as everyone else, with no resources and no recourse. But with an entire chain of inns, I could train anyone willing, provide jobs.
That's the spirit, Amelia, always the fighter. With my help, you can be so successful, you'll never have to worry about money again. Guaranteed comfort for the rest of your life. You've earned it. No, strike that. You deserve it. And as for your neighbors, well, one step at a time.
I accept your offer.
Good. You're a smart woman. And here we are back at the inn. I'll leave you be and update you as we move forward with the plans. And I suppose it goes without saying that this all stays between us. Good. Chin up, Amelia. I see great things for us. Great things.
Dios me perdone.
Pleasure Town will return in a moment.
Bethany and Daniel.
Who?
The young couple. Talk to ghosts. We recently told three parts of their story. We're about to tell part four.
Oh, yeah. They were weird.
Yeah. They were.
You were my partner, and then you weren't.
That's all I ever wanted.
But you weren't you anymore.
No, I wasn't.
And whatever you were, whatever you became, I could not abide.
I know you can see me. Sir. Come on out. I can see you. Well, I can't see all of you with that red bud between us, but I could see you out here in the open. I know you're frightened. Why, I'd be shaking like a little dog in winter if I were you, but you don't have to hide anymore. I know what you need, and I can help you. Sir? Sir?
Ma'am, could I have a word with you?
Might as well. Don't think Johnny here is up for a social visit.
Bethany, is it?
Who's asking?
I beg your pardon, ma'am. I can see you're in a hurry. But I'm looking for information about a persistent ghost problem.
Okay.
Word around town is, you got your pretty little finger on the pulse of the underworld.
I got no business with the below.
I think you do.
I serve the Lord.
Oh? And how's that?
Sometimes a soul gets stuck here in the earthly realm on account of their unfinished business.
What kind of unfinished business?
All kinds. Guilt, trespasses, lies.
Sins.
I guess, in a manner of speaking.
So, you forgive them?
Oh, gosh, no. Only the Lord can do that. I just talk to them. Help them find some peace.
And then what happens?
They move on.
And where is it you think they go?
That's between them and their maker.
So, by your own admission, some of these souls are released from the torment of walking amongst the living, a shadow of their former selves, only to find themselves suffering a much worse fate in the bowels of hell forever.
I guess I never thought of it that way. Who are you, stranger? What's it to you where a restless soul lives out his eternal days?
I go by many names. The Adversary, the Serpent, Ezekiel, the Father of...
Satan?
The very same.
Like I said, I serve the Lord.
I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here because we've got a problem.
You mean you got a problem?
I think you'll find this problem concerns both of us. And the Lord to boot.
Go on.
Miserable souls have been disappearing. The cruel, the wretched, the irredeemable. They all used to come to me. But one day, they stopped. I ain't seen a single soul from Pleasure Town in months. Somebody, your husband, if the chat around town is to be believed, is interfering with the natural order of things.
You want me to help you claim souls for hell?
That's a harsh way of putting it. But yes.
It's not my place to condemn. Only the Lord
can... That's right, Bethany. The Lord decides. And sometimes, in his infinite wisdom and with his righteous moral authority... He sends souls to me. Unrepentant sinners, non-believers, hedonists, you know the type. It's his will. Your husband is defying the Lord and depriving those souls of their eternal judgment.
I guess you're right.
Lying may be my best talent, but I do not trade in it exclusively.
What do you want from me?
Simple. Your permission.
I understand why you did it, Honeybee. I was out of control.
It wasn't you I was worried about, Daniel. What you did to them souls wasn't right. It was unnatural.
You took the devil's side against your own husband?
Estranged husband. And what could I do? Beelzebub was right. The Lord made hell to enforce his divine laws. Who was I to defy him?
Another bourbon bar, man. You know what? Bring me the rest of the bourbon.
I know it's none of my business, boy, but you look like you just lost a fight with a herd of buffalo.
Worse. Bethany. She's my... We used to be,
A lover's quarrel.
Bartender. Bourbon.
She must be something special. What were y'all fighting about?
We used to talk to ghosts. Helped them find their way to the beyond.
Restless souls?
Something like that. Anyway, I wanted us to be together forever. Always. But she was always running off and... Well, I don't know what she got up to without me. So I started consuming the souls instead of helping them.
So these souls, they were meant to move on?
Yes, sir. I should have helped them go, but...
But instead, you trapped them inside of your body.
More or less.
You're just the man I've been looking for.
Say what now?
You have a whole mess of souls that belong to me.
Let me go.
No, thank you.
I mean it.
No, you don't. Not in any way that matters.
What are you gonna...
I'm gonna suck the souls you stole right out of you. Bring them home to hell, of course. Hold still now. Won't take but a minute.
No, I need them.
Whew. That is better.
I feel... empty.
That's the idea, son. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Daniel!
Oh, look who followed me here.
Are you okay?
Your wife got here just in time to see you as you really are.
Please! Leave me alone. I didn't...
You got no grit, boy. Always after other people to tell you who you are. Well, let's cut to the chase, shall we? All you are is a peg among players, doomed to play your part in another's game. Well, there are other things that demand my attention. The doctor isn't going to banish herself from the ether now, is she? Nice doing business with you, Bethany.
For the last time, enemy, I serve the Lord.
Don't we all?
Honeybee?
Not your honeybee. Not anymore.
So, he was right about me. Is that why you don't want me around?
Daniel.
Am I really doomed?
I don't know. But if I had to guess, I'd say you're just as doomed as you were before all this. That's the best I got.
Empty.
You may feel empty now, but you have your life. And life has a way of filling people up again if they let it.
How?
All the restless souls we met, they all made the same mistake. They forgot how to live. They did somebody wrong and let their guilt eat them up forever. Or they were so afraid to make mistakes they never tried nothing new. You can be different, but you have to open your heart. I can't do it for you.
No, I suppose you can't. Will you ever take me back?
Don't go worrying about me, Daniel. Best to put all your thoughts on yourself.
Why did you take me back?
I don't think I have, Sugar Bear.
But us talking, remembering what was. You've been treating me...
Like I remember treating you. But all that pain and trouble you done, I remember that too. You're my Sugar Bear, but you're also the one that swallowed dozens of souls. You can be both.
I know I did wrong. But I ain't either of those guys anymore.
Just like I'm not the Bethany that was your wife.
I guess a peg and a player were never meant to be.
No. But you helped me become me. And for that, I'll always be grateful.
Seems like the devil was always meddling in something.
Are you sure that was the devil?
Well, who else would it be?
I don't know. Just seems odd that the Prince of Darkness would spend so much time in our tiny little town.
It's the devil. He can be in many places at once.
Even then, I don't see how we made the list of places the devil would visit.
Probably the name.
Oh. Yeah. Damn it.
Pleasure Town listeners, this is Emily Modaff, senior producer of the show. Thanks so much for coming back once again and joining us for Season 3, Episode 10. That makes 2 episodes left before the season finale. I'd love to tell you what happens, but I'm really against spoilers, and Also, I don't know what happens because we haven't written that script yet, but we're working on it. Calm down. It's all gonna be fine. But hey, if you liked what you heard this week, let us know by heading over to iTunes and giving us a rate and review, or giving us a shout out on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Your feedback, positive and negative, helps us continue to bring the best audio drama possible. Find even more ways to connect by visiting PleasureTownShow.com. And now it is my favorite time. It is time to thank the wonderful people who made this episode possible. This episode of Pleasure Town was written by Brady Guy, Lizzie Seidenstricker, and Aubrey Henretti, and performed by Ruth Guerra, Susan Messing, Chris DeSalvo, Becca Brown, and Andy Monson. Audio design by Aaron Cahoe and Brady Guy. Our executive producers are Keith Ecker and Aaron Cahoe. Our senior producer is me, Emily Modaf, and our associate producers are Brady Guy, Lizzie Seidenstricker, Joe Courtney, and Colin Wright. And I know it's none of my business, but boy, you look like you just lost a fight with a herd of buffalo. Our staff writers are Sean Paris and Gwen Fulcher. Original music was composed and performed by River Rising's Megan Diger and Tim Hazen, and engineered by Colin Ashmead Bobbitt. This has been a production of WBEZ Chicago.